it's more like a verbal pandemic. And I think there's so much talk in the world right now. Are you tired of all the talk in the world? It is. It's hard to hear. It's hard to sift through it. I want to talk about that today because it's very, very important. Let me get right into our scripture here. Let's get right into the scripture here. The book of Hosea. Now, I probably should have warned the people at home to get their Bibles out and find the book of Hosea. They can't see up here. It's probably going to take them a while to find Hosea. It's after the major prophets. Hosea was one of the prophets to God's people. He was one of the few of the prophets that actually was a prophet for both Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. And we find that He is coming on the scene at a time when basically all hope is lost for both of those, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, to be forgiven, as it were, to be able to stay as an independent nation. The nation of Israel's already gone, been taken over by the Assyrians. The nation of Judah, the part of Israel that was Judah, is about to be conquered by the Babylonians. And so we pick up the message that Hosea has, and here's what Hosea says. He says, "My people." Now, this is God talking, but through the prophet Isaiah. He said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." He said, "My people are destroyed." See, it's too late for them. He said, "They're already destroyed." He said, "It's done. They've gone. They have crossed the precipice. They've crossed they've gone beyond the tipping point, and now it is too late for them to be able to come back to God. There's too many of them that have gone the wrong direction. There's too many of them that no longer want the things of God. They're outnumbering those that do." And so God has said, "My people have crossed that tipping point. They are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." But now, as we look at that, you know, what about the knowledge here? You know, why did they just not know? No, he went on to say this. He said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge." See, he didn't say this is all happening to you and you didn't get warned. He didn't say, "You, my people." He's talking to his people now. He said, "Look, you're destroyed. It's done. You are now going to be enslaved, but it's because you didn't know what to do, but it's not because you weren't told what to do. It's because when you were told what to do, when you were told what was right, you rejected it."
Amen.
You rejected it. So God said, "I will also reject you from being priest for me." And that what he means by that is, he said, "I'm going to reject you from being that group of people that takes care of the rest of the world." Do you realize God's initial plan was for Israel to be his special people? What? Through Abraham. But then he said to Abraham, he said, "Now I want you to know though, it's not just going to be a blessing for you. It's going to be a blessing for you, but you are going to be a blessing to all the other people. You're going to bring the world." Their job was to know God so well that they went out and brought the rest of the world into a knowledge of God. You see, he said, "I will bless you, and I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you." He said, "But you will be a blessing to the rest of the world." That was God's original plan with Abraham. And by the way, so isn't that also God's plan for us now?
Amen.
You see, God said, He rejected them as being his priests. He said, "Instead, I'm going to call a people that are not my own." We find that other places in Scripture. That's the church. He said, "Because you've forgotten the law of God." Watch this. These are horrible words, aren't they? He said, "Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Now, please understand, God's not saying he will forget their children. When he says forget there, what it means is ignore. He said, in fact, we could say it this way, "Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children." He's not going to forget them. God doesn't forget his people, by the way. God is going to come back to the Jews, folks. Please understand that. Don't think that we can mistreat the Jews right now and God's okay with it. He's not. Just because they rejected Jesus Christ doesn't mean that God is still not wanting any part of them. What he's saying is, "I will come back to them. I'm going to use the church instead right now. I will come back to them. But he said, "You have rejected, or you have ignored the law of your God, so I will also ignore your children." And listen, folks, I've been to Israel. We were blessed to go last year to Israel. The people of Israel are crying out to God. Listen, folks. The people of Israel are crying out to God. But God is ignoring them in some ways. as he said that he would do, because they have ignored him. I watched as these, there's so many, we were there during a Holy Week, and Brother Wayne, you know this, you know, you've been there, and that wailing wall, that big wall where they all gathered, it was so packed there, we could barely even get in there, because it was a Holy Week. And I watched as so many of them, and it was so hot there. It was about 95 degrees. But these Jewish men, especially, they had these big heavy fur hats on, many of them. And they had these long black coats and all of that. Some of you are wishing it was warm like that in here, aren't you? So sorry about that. But they were just, it was so hot and so oppressive, but they had all this stuff they had to put on ceremonially, and they would go and they would do all these things at that wall. And I saw that and I thought, how sad it is, because they rejected Jesus 2,000 years ago and now he's ignoring their children. Are you with me? He hasn't forgotten them. Look, they hadn't forgotten God. They just ignored God. Can I ask a question? How about us? I mean, none of us have forgotten God. You're all here in church. But are we ignoring God? Our country hasn't forgotten God, folks. Hey, listen, America hasn't forgotten God, but America is ignoring God. And we've had some amazing patriotic services. We had 2 weeks ago, we had the most pro-America, positive patriotic service. I'm still getting people that tell me what an amazing, wonderful time that was, and I'm so glad you enjoyed that. But America is kind of ignoring God. Now, what does this have to do with us? Why am I even bringing this up? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of something that Paul said. Paul said we need to be aware of this. Do you know why we study the Old Testament? Why we need to learn about Israel's history? I'll tell you why. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 10, and verse number 11. He said, "Now all these things happened to them," talking about Israel, "as what?" Say it with me. Examples. He said they were written for our admonition. Why do we have an Old Testament? Look, why am I talking? Why did I begin our message from the book of Hosea today? Because God said, you need to know what happened. You need to know what Hosea said to the nation of Israel, because it's an example for you, for the church. Paul's writing to a church here. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He said, they're written for an admonition or a warning to you. Are you with me?
Amen.
Folks, we are being warned by Hosea. We're not Jews. We're not Israel. And we're not necessarily about to be conquered by, a foreign nation. But he said, I did give you an example. Listen, here's the point. If God will do this to his chosen people, what makes us think he won't ignore us?
Amen.
Right? If we ignore God, what makes us think that if we ignore God, that he won't then choose to ignore us? He ignored his people called by his name. Right? All right, so here's what he said, verse 12. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Have you noticed a little bit of a pride problem in America? A little bit of an arrogance problem in America? Have you noticed a little bit of an arrogance problem in churches? You know, this is a lot of the world's issue with us. The church for a long time has been so proud and so arrogant sounding, pointing fingers at everybody else, pointing fingers at the world, picking out the sins of the world, and the world knows those same sins are right here in the church house, right? I mean, we stand up and we preach about all these sins, and then we have some of the same issues ourselves. And so God's people have sort of ignored what God had to say about marriage, about sexual relationships, about morals, about business, all these things. And he said, look, he said, you got problems here. You've ignored me, and now God's going to ignore you. So the reason God has given us this is because those were examples. Now, let's go back then to the book of Hosea. I wanted to show you the whole point there was, we were given the Old Testament. We were given people like Hosea. We were given the commandments of the Old Testament, not because we're supposed to follow them necessarily. Jesus came along and changed all that. He doesn't want us to... Look, Jesus is fine with us eating pork, okay? It's fine if you want to go and have some barbecue ribs today after church. It's good. God's good with that. And that was something for his people. That was something different back in those days. But what he did say was, I want you to take an example of my people rejecting knowledge. And he said, because they rejected knowledge, then they're destroyed. So we go back then to this verse and notice God's people are rejected because of that. You know, in that day, so watch. So if we also then reject knowledge, what's going to happen to us? Talk to me. We're going to be destroyed. And we're not going to have any excuse to make. Because he said, look, if you reject me, I gave you an example in them. If you reject me also, if you reject knowledge, if you don't care enough to find out what true knowledge is, if you reject it, if you ignore it, then I'm going to also forget your children. I'll ignore your children. I think that's one of the biggest worries that some of the grandparents in the room have. Am I right about that, Sherry? You're worried about your grandkids, aren't you? You're worried about your grandkids because you have watched what has happened within America and within the Christian, within the church, where God's concerned. And you're not sure that the message will get through to your grandkids because the message in the world is so strong. I'm right about that, aren't I? And other grandparents in the room feel the same way. So we're keyed in here on what's happening today. So in the case of the nation of Israel, God was talking to them as a whole. But he's talking to us now as a church, but he's also talking to us individually. How many of you have a feeling, just be honest with me for a minute, how many of you have a feeling of hopelessness when you think about trying to change the world? I mean, do you feel like we even have a shot at changing the whole world? Because we don't. The God of this world has control of that. We feel a little bit more hope maybe about trying to change America, but honestly, that ship is mostly sailed as well. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try, because we can change our little corner of the world. We can change. We can make sure our church is right. We can make sure New Hope is right if we can't make sure all of Christianity is right. Right? We can at least work on that. That's our job. That's our area. That's where our responsibilities are. So we're talking about right here, right now, and here's the question then that I want to deal with for the rest of today is, you know, we're facing a warning from God, and he said, I want you to learn what the truth is. I want you to know what the truth is, and if you don't know what the truth is, it's your fault, not mine. Amen. God says it's your fault, not mine, if you don't know what the truth is. Amen. He said, because I wrote it all down. Amen. But you've got to know. You've got to know the difference between what is given to you as an example and what I have directly written to you. And that's kind of one of the things that is a hallmark of our church that we're working on right now. When I said there was a pandemic earlier, I feel like there's this verbal pandemic. There's just so much talk in the world right now. I think so many of us are so overwhelmed with all the opinions of the world. And have you said to yourself here of late, whether it's about whatever issue, I just don't even know what to believe. I don't know who to listen to, right? Because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. Every medical professional's got an opinion. Every politician's got an opinion. Every barber. I feel so bad for barbers. Can you imagine being a barber or a hairstylist, whatever the women barbers are for women? You know. Oh, sorry. Some of you men go to a beautician also. But okay, sorry. Real men go to barbers. No, look, can you imagine all day long? Can you imagine all day long having to listen? Every person who sits down wants to talk about probably the same current event. Can you imagine how awful that must be? I would have such a hard time with that. But everybody's got an opinion. Now, in the last few years, and I feel like particularly in the last 6 months, we have been a part of something that I'm going to call a verbal nuclear reaction. Here's what I mean by that. You take one thing that somebody says. Okay, what do we call it? Here's kind of an irony. What do we call, what's the term that came out a few years ago when there's a video or something that somebody says, somebody either makes a meme out of it or something like that, or a video gets on YouTube and it goes everywhere. It's called going what? Going viral, right? What does that mean? It means it just goes from person to person. It just spreads like a virus does. And I feel like we have experienced that so much here lately. One politician makes one comment, says one thing, and it's taken, and then it's blown way out of proportion by whatever the other side is. And it happens on both sides. It becomes a tool, and so you have all this stuff. Then we have this COVID-19 that came out. And boy, you remember at the very beginning of this, all the facts? Does this seem like a long time ago? It wasn't that long ago. Do you remember all the facts that came out at first? You know, and now today, and those have changed how many times since then? They change almost every single day, every single week. Something new is coming out, and it has started not just is there information and bad information being out there about, you know, all the things, you know, social distancing and masks and, you know, contact tracing and all this stuff. And if you do this, you're better off. And I heard somebody say recently, you know, your blood type maybe has a you're better off. You know, you have only a 0.004 chance instead of a 0.0003 chance of getting it. You know. And all this is a big deal. So all this stuff is made out, and then you've got all the political stuff that goes along with it, and it's the Democrats' attempt to do this, and it's the Republicans' attempt to do this. All this stuff, and we're stepping back and we're going, man, I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe. Because the facts keep changing. The truths keep changing. Listen, can I let you in on a big secret? It's a universal secret. Truths never change. If something is true, well, there weren't nearly enough amens on that. If something is true, it never changes.
Amen.
It's always true. So if something changes, it means it wasn't true.
Amen.
You follow me, right? Can I just cut to the chase? There is one source of truth that you can always count on that's never going to change. And it's not in the news media, it's not in the politicians, it's not all those things, and you get the idea. So we have this, we see this verbal nuclear reaction. See, nuclear reactions are based on a process called fission. When you break an atom apart, when you break an atom apart, it releases so much energy. There's so much energy bound up in atoms the way God made them. When you break that atom apart, that energy is released in such an incredible and powerful way that it creates a chain reaction, and all the other atoms around it, they also get broken apart. And that's why we have nuclear reactions. You follow me on that? And this is what's happening when somebody says something. When a person of a certain skin color gets mistreated, it becomes a nuclear reaction in our world, yes? And the reaction is so much worse most of the time than the initial thing that was said or the initial thing that was done or whatever it is. And so this is the world that we live in. Politicians are scrambling. Just stay with me. I promise you I'm going to make some very pointed points about this in just a few minutes. But this is our world. See, politicians right now, they're scrambling, not to try to determine what's best or what the right move is, but politicians today are scrambling to try to figure out which side do I need to come down on this in order to get reelected. That's the concern. We elect people to represent us and to do what's in our best interest, but right now, and wait, it's not all their fault, folks, because we do this to them. We put them in this position when we elect people based on rhetoric like this. When we allow our news media, when we allow politicians to just jump on a bandwagon to do this and say, well, okay, this is what's popular right now, and those are the people that get elected, it's our fault. They're following the lead of the populace. Populace means the majority of the people. I feel like I had to define that because you all didn't agree with what I was saying. So we have politicians doing that, and then you've got the Hollyweird community of celebrities that they're just like in a competition to see who can say the dumbest thing ever. And so we're all out here and we're going, man, I don't know what to believe. Listen, folks, if we don't figure out what to believe, we're going to be destroyed. If we don't figure out what truth is, we're going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Because God said we are. He said, if you don't figure out, personally now, you can't change America, you can't change the world maybe, personally, but you can change you. I can change me. I can make sure I'm thinking right. I can make sure I have the right knowledge because God says it's personal now with you. So knowledge is very, very hard to come by. But that's not really anything new. That actually, it's kind of more like the extreme cases we see in Scripture. I want to take you back to some Scripture now. So here's the thing. So even now as people of God, let me bring this down to us now. As people of God, it's sometimes hard for us to know what truth is because we don't study like we should. Let me give you some examples here. So for example, I'm going to touch on some of the hot button issues of today, and I'm never going to be afraid to touch on the hot button issues of the day. So let me show you a couple scriptures here. So when we think about today, one of the hot button issues today is self-defense. You know, or how do we deal with authority? Let's do that first. How do we deal with authority? So here's some scriptures. So this is, look, I'm going to be honest with you. This is very heavy on my heart today. Can I just take a time out and let me just speak to you personally now? And I don't know if I'm speaking as, I think I'm speaking as a pastor also, but also as a citizen. I'm very concerned about the overreach of our government right now. I'm extremely concerned about what's happening. I'm extremely concerned about our Supreme Court. I'm extremely concerned about our governments. Amen. Local, state, federal, overreaching, ignoring our rights as people. I'm personally very concerned about that. But it's so complicated right now, it's hard to know what the truth is. Okay, so let's take some scripture here. So the Apostle Paul is writing to us in Romans chapter 13, and he says, let every soul, that's everybody, be subject unto the higher powers. That means anybody in authority. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be or are ordained of God. That means they're ordered by God. Now listen, to take time out, let me make sure we're clear on this. He is not saying that he put every single person into power that's in power. What he's saying is the subject of authority is ordered by God. God is in favor of authority. God is in favor of submitting to authority. That's what he's saying here. Let's continue on. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to... Look at this warning here, folks. And they that resist receive to themselves damnation. That's a strong warning, isn't it? So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, but I want to resist some of the things that are going on right now in authorities in my life. And by the way, if we just take this verse, if we take these two verses right here and we lift those out of Scripture and we post them up on the wall and we make this our own doctrine, then guess what? The America that you and I know and love wouldn't even be here. Because you understand the American Revolution was a resistance of authority, right? So if God is making a blanket statement here that says you should never resist authority, then America wouldn't even be here. And every teenager will get stoned according to Scripture. I don't mean this way. I mean this way. Right? So look. If this is all we have, then you know, then it's like, man, I must not be right. See, this is where we're needing some knowledge because we also have scriptures like this. See, we have an actual example. In the book of Acts, take a look at this. So now the book of Acts, the apostles have been brought before a city council of Jerusalem. They had done something they had been told specifically not to do. The rulers, the authorities of Jerusalem had said to them, you will not talk about Jesus here. You will not go out on the streets. You will not protest. You will not demonstrate. You will not get out there and proselytize. You will not talk about Jesus, period. Then they did it. And then they did it. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, yeah, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now watch, though. So which one's right? Well, but God's the one who told Paul to say in the verses we just read that we're supposed to submit ourselves to all authority. So are we supposed to submit ourselves to all authority and not receive damnation for resisting? Or are there times when we're supposed to obey God rather than men? Do you see the point here? This is where, listen, here's the problem. And look, I'm not going to get into it today specifically. But my point is, so most of God's people don't know which one of those is right. They're actually both right, by the way. But can you say why? Can we as God's people, are we as God's people knowledgeable enough to speak to this issue? Probably most are not. And he said, and it's not because you don't have knowledge available. It is time for God's people to get serious about being God's people, folks.
Amen.
It is time for God's people to get serious and learn what God says is truth and know how to talk about it, know how to sort it out, know how to discern the events of the world, and know this is where God comes down on this. This issue of whether or not we should submit to all of our government, all of the government reach, or whether or not we should resist some of it, this is something that God's people need to lead the way, but God's people aren't leading the way.
Amen.
The only portion of God's people that are leading the way are the whack jobs. Look, I'm being serious.
Amen.
Okay, come on. There are whack jobs in every segment of society, yes, and that includes Christianity. Who are the leading quote religious people that get all the news? The ones who say the stupidest things. And it's not supposed to be out in the news media anyway. It's supposed to be happening in the church house. The church house ought to be the place where people come and learn truth. And that means we've got to talk about stuff like this, and we're going to talk about stuff like this. We're going to talk through these issues because it's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. What's the title of the message today? God's Word and My Opinion. If my opinion doesn't line up with God's Word, a true good study of God's Word, then I need to change my opinion, and so do you. And so do you. And all you at home. All you at home. If our opinion doesn't match up with God's Word, if it doesn't match up with the principles that God wants us to learn after a careful study, and again, we don't lift a verse out of Scripture. Look, if we just lift this verse out of Scripture, you know, then we can just make it anything we want it to be, right? Let me move on to another hot-button issue. How about what we call gun control, but it's really more about self-defense? Where did Peter get his knowledge, by the way? Where did Peter get his information before he said this to those men? He got it directly from Jesus, right? Well, let me tell you a couple things that Jesus said to his apostles about defending themselves. Let's take a look first at the book of Matthew, chapter 5. You'll note Matthew chapter 5 is that Beatitudes chapter. He said, "But I say unto you that you resist not evil." Wait, what? What? Resist not evil, but whoever strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, he didn't really specify it. I think the same thing means if they hit you on the left cheek too. But I think. Actually, since most people are right-handed, I guess if you get hit on your right cheek, they're backhanding you. But anyway, I don't know if that means anything or not. Study that out, would you, Randy? But he says, look, if somebody hits you on your right cheek, what are you supposed to do? Hit them back? Stand up for your rights? Have them arrested? No, he said, turn the other cheek. We've heard this all of our lives, right? Turn the other cheek. This was Jesus himself teaching his apostles. How do you like that? Well, let's test that out. No, I'm just kidding. I'll walk down there and slap Ben across the face and see what he does. I'm going to get his left cheek. Then he's in a quandary with Scripture. But he still has the old man living inside of him, right? So look, he said, turn the other cheek. So we have this teaching of Jesus, but can I also show you something he told Peter later on? In his last message to Peter in Luke chapter 22, before he went to the cross, watch what he said here. Then he said to them, but now... He said, okay, let me give you the background. He said, you remember when I sent you all out two by two and I told you don't take anything with you? Don't take any money with you. Don't take any weapons with you. Just go and live by faith, okay? He said, but now, what's now? What does he mean by now? Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to go to the cross and be crucified. And by the way, if we took that other verse, wouldn't we all have to be pacifists? Right? And Jesus modeled pacifism kind of with the cross, didn't he? So up to this point, It's like Jesus is saying, don't defend yourself, don't do anything, you don't need weapons, just let the world walk on you. But now, he said, he that has a bag, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that has no sword... Wait, see, they didn't have gun control back then, they had sword control. Couldn't have any automatic swords. I know. There's some people looking at home saying, Pastor, you really shouldn't go here. I don't like it when you go. Look, this is our world. And if your opinion differs with God's opinion, you need to change your opinion. I'm not saying what his opinion is. What I'm saying is it's not always clear. Jesus said two different things here, and it's up to the child of God to study and know which one he wants us to do now and where he wants us to come down. He said, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. Boy, it's quiet now.
Amen.
So somebody could say, look, I'm going to follow the Jesus who said, turn the other cheek. Somebody else can say, I'm going to follow the Jesus that told me if I have to sell my clothes to buy a gun, I'm going to buy one. Right?
Yep.
Wow. It's going to be fun. Folks, see, here's what's happening. Everybody's got an emotional opinion about this. People have emotional opinions about this issue. And I brought it up on purpose today because I know everybody has an emotional opinion. But can I ask you a question? As a child of God, does your opinion matter or does what God had to say about it matter? Did I say that out loud? Or did I just think that question? I said it out loud, didn't I?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. Because you all didn't answer out loud. Look, my opinions are not the issue. My opinions are not a part of knowledge. God said, you need knowledge or you're going to be destroyed. And it's not your knowledge, it's my knowledge. You need to know where I come down on this. You need to know where I come down on the issue of abortion. You need to know where I come down on the issue of homosexuality. You need to know where I come down on the issue of all sexuality. You need to know where I come down on the issue of government control. You need to know where I come down on the issue of defending yourself. He said, you can have all your opinions, but look, what's really important, and the only thing that's going to save us, is knowledge.
Amen.
But knowledge is God's. It's God's. It's his knowledge. Look, you can. Do you know you can disagree with God and still be obedient?
Amen.
Hey, listen, time out. Listen, folks. We can totally disagree with God. We cannot like something that God said. You know what's something? I despise the idea of an eternal hell with no second chance. Does anybody else hate that? I hate that. I despise that. To me, that seems horrible. Because I read the description of hell. I read about what it's going to be like. But I also read that God says it is permanent and there is no second chance. I hate that. I despise that. But I believe it and I know it's true. See, the fact that I disagree with it, the fact that I don't like it, God's fine with that. You know God's okay. God has broad shoulders. Did you know that? You know, God's a big, big boy.
Amen.
He really is. He can handle it. He can handle you saying, God, I don't like your rules. He said, that's fine. It's, you know, I don't like you. I love you, but I don't like you. I don't like things you do either. Right? You can disagree with God. But if we don't know what God said and if we don't allow our opinions to start lining up with what he said, we will not have knowledge. And he said, I gave you an example in my people. They had no knowledge and it destroyed them. So if you want to just live your life according to your opinions, you can do that. He said, but it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you physically. It's going to destroy you mentally. It's going to destroy you emotionally. Look, are we not destroying ourselves physically? Now, some of you, you're in pretty good shape. But some of us, we're destroying ourselves physically because we ignore what God has to say about health. And we're working on some things to help with that, by the way. We have a dietitian now in our church. It's Maya down here. And we're going to be doing some things with that. We have great examples in some of you that have done some great things. But my point is, We have these things that we have knowledge available to us, but we don't always use them. And it's destroying us. And God says, I want you to understand the example that's given here. So what is it that we're supposed to do? What are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to believe about some of these issues? You know, all across Christianity, look, you know, if we look to our governors and our president, if we look to our congresspeople and all that to get our truth, we're looking in the wrong place. Please get this. They're supposed to be looking to us. Hey, the president is supposed to be looking to God's people for truth. So is Congress. Do you think your congressman cares about your religious beliefs? Come on, talk to me. Then vote for a different one. Right? See, we ought not to be... I don't want to go there. So Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Other times he said, sell what you have and buy a sword. You know, we could go into all these other things. Here's the point that I want to make, you know, about this. Okay. Right now we have our government telling us where we can go and how many people can be there and how far apart we have to be and whether or not to wear a mask. There's so many opinions about that, and God bless you. You are welcome to have whatever opinion you want to. But can I ask you a question? If our government requires that we wear a mask or that we don't come to church and gather in too big of groups, can I ask you what's next? Look, if your government can require you to wear a mask out in public, then can it not also then require you to take a vaccine if it's offered? Can it not also require you to get a health... Look, if it can require you to get a health screening before you're allowed to be around other people, can it not screen for many other things? You know, that happened once in the world. It was called the Nazis. They screened for health too. And did it under... Look, and again, I'm not going to turn this into a political circus here. Please don't think that. That's not what this is about. My point is, we need to know what is right and what is not right. And the only way we're going to do... Thank you. The only way we're going to do that is if we as God's people start talking about this book right here and what God had to say about it. And if we don't get into this thing and really study and do a good job of studying and know exactly what God said, then we're not going to have knowledge. Because even within this book, people can misuse it, and it's time for God's people to get serious about knowing what this book is, period. Amen. That's my point. Amen. It's time that we get serious about it. And Sunday morning is not the time to do that. See, I can't teach all these things on Sunday morning. I can't talk to you this morning. I'm not going to preach a message about gun control this morning. I'm not going to preach a message because that needs some, there's some serious study need to be going on. But that is what we're going to be doing on some Wednesday nights here. Wednesday nights we're going to be having the politicians are really into this whole town hall thing. Well, God's people need to be able to ask some questions too. But I'm going to be doing some very, very serious teaching. I'm going to bring some other people in on some of these issues. We're not going to choose a side. We are going to talk about what God has to say about it. We're going to teach about what God has to say about it. Whether it's gun control or immigration or this or that. Now, I know some of you that bothers you, you say, well, I don't want to get into all that. I want to come to church and hear the Bible. We have to know what the Bible says about the issues the world is talking about because we have to be the ones that have the knowledge for the world. If you don't have an answer, if I don't have an answer for our world when it's struggling to understand these current issues, where is the world going to get its answers? The world's not going to get it from the Bible. The world's going to get it from idiots on TV. Yeah. So we've got to be that source. And that's the point. You know, let me wrap this up then. So look, you know, here's the reason. Here's why this is not popular in churches right now. It's not popular in churches for several reasons. Number one, because pastors like me we've spent too much time trying to think like a politician. Spent too much time trying to worry about how to get people in seats and how to get money in an offering plate. And worrying about offending and worrying about this and all that. And by the way, and there's reason for that because we don't want to be... Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He said, don't be an idiot pastor by preaching a bunch of controversial things all the time because people don't want to hear all that and they shouldn't have to hear all that. There ought to be a time when we can come to church and just be a respite from the world. I get that. And you know it is that way most of the time here, right? But that's one of the reasons. The second reason, though, that this is not real popular in churches, I'll tell you why. It's because people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to study. People don't want to study. They want to just be told what to do. You know, and the other reason is, you know, they don't want to know if their views differ from God's. They don't want to know if their views differ from God's. Look, you got strong views? You don't want to know if God has a different view. Because you know you're supposed to change. I know I'm supposed to change. We don't want to have to change our views, right? Do you ever try to talk somebody out of an opinion? That's like right up there. That's what God meant when he said, you know, with men it's impossible. Right? We can't talk people out of their opinions. And we shouldn't. I shouldn't try to talk you out of your opinion about anything. You shouldn't try to talk me about out of my opinion. But if we all go to the same book, we all go to the same source of truth, and we say, God, what's your opinion? And we can do a good study, and we help each other to learn it, and we realize this is where God stands on this, then we should all say, that's where I need to stand as well. Amen. Amen. But the only way we can do that is if we delve into those topics. The last reason that people don't want to do this is really the worst reason. It's because they don't care. They just don't care. It's like, you know what? I don't care where God comes down on this. I don't care what happens with it. It doesn't affect me. So I don't care how God feels about this issue or that issue. Apathy is probably the biggest sin in the church. Amen. It's probably worse than pornography and you know, all the other things we could talk about. Apathy. And that was kind of the subject of last week's message. So I'm going to take you again to the last scripture I read last week, because here's how God feels about apathy. Here's how God feels about his people not caring about where he stands on the issues that the world is talking about. Are you with me so far? I'm talking about the things the world is talking about. Here's how God feels if we don't care enough to become knowledgeable so that we can be light to a community of darkness. He said, I know your works. You're neither hot, you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were. You see that? He said, I wish you were. Do you know God would rather us care but be wrong than to not care? Do you see that, right? I'm not making that up. This is what he said. He said, I would rather you had a wrong opinion but care about an issue than to not care at all. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. Here's how he really feels about it. He said, and because you're not hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, he's not going to kick you out of his family. He's not going to kick me out of his family. God doesn't do that. But this is how he feels about it. That's he said, you're a bad taste in my mouth. Because I cared enough to give you all the knowledge you need. I cared enough to put it in a book. And I gave you people, I put people around you who have some knowledge, and they'll share that with you about where I come down on these issues. And so we're going to talk about these issues in the coming Wednesday nights. I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching about the issues that are facing us, because we are headed toward the end of this church age, folks. Whether you believe, I'm telling you, we're headed toward the end of this church age. It's all coming together, and there's forces of evil at work now that we've never seen the kind of power that's happening right now. And look, and that doesn't mean we go into hiding. We don't go into hiding. We actually look for that day. Amen. Jesus said there's a blessing for those who are looking for his coming. But he doesn't mean just to sit around and do nothing and just look. He means figure out where you should stand on something. And then, as I said last week, and I'm done, he said, I want you to stand up, speak up, or you are sinning against me. He said, because if you know what's good to do, if you learn knowledge and you know what's good to do and you don't do it, to you it is, what was it? It's sin. He said, you're not being neutral. Neutral is sinful. Neutral is distasteful to God. So can we as God's people give him the honor he deserves by caring about what truth is, caring about knowledge. And let's learn what it is. Let's learn about what's going on in our world around us. And let's be able to speak from God's standpoint about it. That's what we'll be doing on Wednesday nights. I hope you'll come out and join me. I really do. I hope you'll be a part of that. But for now, I think the message today is just, do I care? Do I even care? I'll tell you who, we ought to be at this altar praying if we know that we have opinions that differ from God's. But I think we also ought to be at this altar saying, I'm sorry, God, that I just simply don't care. And if I were you, if I were me, and this is, I prayed this. Please, I'm done. I promise you I'm done. As soon as I'm done, we're going to start the music. As soon as I say this. I would rather pray and ask God to change my heart and make me care than for him to change my life and make me care.